The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So you're all welcome to come to the Sunday community meeting. We don't have these very often at IMC. And it's a chance to talk a little bit about the state of IMC, your concerns about it, your questions about it, your interests. I'll find out what's going on a little bit. I know most of you come Mondays, so we don't want to do it Monday evening after our regular time. But some of you might want to come on, I think it's at 11 o'clock on Sunday. So can you all hear me okay? Okay. So this evening, I would like to read you a story. And then perhaps have a discussion about the story. It's a somewhat evocative story, and some people respond to it as a challenging morality story. Some people read it as a story that raises deep questions about our relationship and our relationship to other people. And there's other ways of reading the story. It's like a fable. So So this story is by Edwin Friedman, and he wrote a book called Friedman's Fables. So he wrote this fable. There was a man who had given much thought to what he wanted from life. He had experienced many moods and trials. He had experimented with different ways of living, and he had his share of both successes and failure. At last, he began to see clearly where he wanted to go. Diligently, he searched for the right opportunity. Sometimes he came close, only to be pushed away. Often he applied all his strength and imagination, only to find the path hopelessly blocked. And then at last it came. But the opportunity would not wait. It was made available only for a short time. If it were seen that he was not committed, the opportunity would not come again. Eager to arrive, he started on his journey. With each step, he wanted to move faster. With each thought about his goal, his heart beat quicker. With each vision of what lay ahead, he found renewed vigor. Strength that had left him since his early youth returned, and desires, all kinds of desires, reawakened from their long dormant positions. Hurrying along, he came upon a bridge that crossed through the middle of a town. It had been built high above a river in order to protect it from the floods of spring. He started across. Then he noticed someone coming from the opposite direction. As they moved closer, it seemed as though the other were coming to greet him. He could clearly see, however, that he did not know this other, who was dressed similarly except for something tied around his waist. When they were within hailing distance, he could see that what the other had about his waist was a rope. It was wrapped around him many times and probably, if extended, would reach a length of 30 feet. The other began to uncurl the rope, and just as they were coming close, the stranger said, "Pardon me. Would you be so kind as to hold the end of the rope for a moment?" Surprised by this politely phrased but curious request, he agreed without a thought, reached out, and took it. "Thank you," said the other, and then added, "Two hands now, and remember, hold tight." Thereupon, the other jumped off the bridge. Quickly, the free-falling body hurled through hurled the distance of the rope's length, and from the bridge, the man abruptly felt the pull. Instinctively, he held tight and was almost dragged over the side. He managed to brace himself against the edge. However, after having caught his breath, he looked down at the other dangling close to oblivion. "What are you trying to do?" he yelled. "Just hold tight," said the other. "This is ridiculous," the man thought, and began trying to haul the other in. He could not get the leverage, however. It was as though the weight of the other person and the length of the rope had been carefully calculated in advance, so that together they created a counterweight just beyond his strength to bring the other back to safety. "Why did you do this?" the man called out. "Remember," said the other, "if you let go, I will be lost." "But I cannot pull you up," the man cried. "I am your responsibility," said the other. "Well, I did not ask for it," the man said. "If you let go, I am lost," repeated the other. He began to look around for help, but there was no one. How long would he have to wait? Why did this happen to befall him now, just as he was on the verge of true success? He examined the side, searching for a place to tie the rope. Some protrusion, perhaps, or maybe a hole in the boards. But the railing was unusually uniform in shape. There was no spaces between the boards. There was no way to get rid of this newfound burden, even temporarily. "What do you want?" he asked the other hanging below. "Just your help," the other answered. "How can I help? I cannot pull you in, and there's no place to tie the rope so you can go. No place to tie the rope so that I can go and find someone to help you. I know that. Just hang on. That will be enough. Tie the rope around your waist. It will be easier." Fearing that his arms would not hold out much longer, he tied the rope around his waist. "Why did you do this?" he asked. "Don't you see what you have done? What possible purpose could you have had in mind?" "Just remember," said the other, "my life is in your hands." What should he do? "If I let go, all my life I will know that I let this other die. If I stay, I risk losing my momentum toward my long sought-after salvation. Either way, this will haunt me forever." With ironic humor, he thought to die himself, instantly to jump off the bridge while still holding on. That would teach this fool. But he wanted to live and to live life fully. "What a choice I have to make. How shall I ever decide?" As time went by, still no one came. The critical moment of decision was drawing near. To show his commitment to his own goals, he would have to continue on his journey now. It was already almost too late to arrive in time. But what a terrible choice to have to make. A new thought occurred to him. While he could not pull this other up solely on his own efforts, if the other would shorten the rope from his end by curling it around his waist again and again, together they could do it. Actually, the other could do it by himself, so long as he, standing on the bridge, kept still and steady. "Now listen," he shouted down. "I think I know how to save you." And he explained his plan. But the other wasn't interested. "You mean you won't help? But I told you, I cannot pull you up by myself, and I don't think I can hang on much longer either." "You must try," the other shouted back in tears. "If you fail, I die." The point of decision arrived. What should he do? My life or this other's? And then a new idea. a revelation. So new, in fact, it seemed heretical. So alien was it to his traditional way of thinking. "I want you to listen carefully," he said, "because I mean what I'm about to say. I will not accept the position of choice for your life, only for my own. The position of choice for your own life I hereby give back to you." "What do you mean?" the other asked, afraid. "I mean simply, it's up to you. You decide which way this ends. I will become the counterweight. If you do the pulling and bring yourself up, I will tug a little from here." He began unwinding the rope from around his waist and braced himself anew against the side of the bridge. "You cannot mean what you say," the other shrieked. "You would not be so selfish. I am your responsibility. What could be so important that you would let someone die? Do not do this to me." He waited a moment. There was no change in the tension of the rope. "I accept your choice," he said, at last, and freed his hands. Let go of the rope. So, would you like me to read any of it over? In order to kind of see if you missed something or... So what do you think of this story? What would you have done if you were holding this person up by the rope? No one was coming to help. You couldn't hold much longer. And the person wasn't helping him or herself. What would you do? So what do you think of this story? Reminds him of trying to help someone with addiction. So you want to say a little bit more, but with the mic?
When you're helping someone with addiction, it requires their effort as well as yours. You can't do it alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And if they're not helping themselves, then?
Then it can't happen.
It's their choice, so you kind of let go.
Yeah.
And the mic, is everyone up there? Is there a mic on that side of the room?
Well, I was struck by the the idea of the responsibility. And I don't think it ever works to try to make someone else responsible for my life. And I think the decision that the man on the bridge made was a recognition of that fact. Mm.
So the person who threw himself over the bridge didn't understand that. That person wanted someone else to take responsibility.
Never works.
I read the story, I read the story a little differently. Rather than looking at it from the point of view of the person who jumped off the bridge, I look at it from the point of view of the person who was holding on, who took the rope, and was struggling with the issue of responsibility. So sometimes we take the responsibility of others, and that's the burden. Yes?
Could you just read the last few sentences?
Understand what happened?
Yeah. Well, he said, "You have made your choice."
Yeah.
And I don't know what the other man said.
Oh, I don't think there was anything more.
Oh.
That was part of the point. So he said, so the fellow holding the rope says, you decide which way this ends. I will become the counterweight. You do the pulling and bring yourself up. I will even tug a little from here. He began unwinding the rope from around his waist and braced himself anew against the side. You cannot mean what you say, the other shrieked. You would not be so selfish. I am your responsibility. What could be so important that you would let someone die? Do not do this to me. The one who was holding the rope waited a moment. There was no change in the tension of the rope. And he said, I accept your choice. And with that, he let go of the rope. So maybe pass the mic back.
That was a really interesting story. It triggered a lot of different situations that I've been in with helping other people. I too was positioning myself as the person on the bridge. And all I kept thinking towards the end was, it was in a Dharma talk. I don't remember who said it, but it reminded me that it's okay to set boundaries, but not to block other people like from your heart, right? Like the person on the bridge didn't say like, you're crazy, I don't know why you're doing this, like, here you go, you know, throwing you off. He just said very simply, like, I accept that you were making this other choice as a human being, I'm going to do what's best for me. But that didn't, there was no blocking, like, of love, at least it didn't seem. Mm-hmm. And it's still really tough in everyday life, but that really stuck with me from another talk, so.
Great, nice, thank you.
I was thinking of this possibly being two parts of one person, because at one point they said, as you were walking, the only thing that looked different about them is that the one person had a rope. So I don't exactly know what that means, but as he was trying to reach his goals, he had to get maybe rid of something within himself. But I can't really get beyond what that really might mean.
Great. So that's a whole little different twist on the story. Rather than being two different people, there's two sides of the same person. And the person has met part of himself on the bridge. And one side that doesn't take responsibility, maybe. And or one side that's a burden, that's it. One side that gets in the way, stands in the way of progress, of going ahead with one life. And you can't let go a part of yourself. I mean, you can't let go of that important part of who you are, maybe your ego, your identity, or something. I mean, that whole ego thing, you know, it's completely dependent on you. You know, it's going to die if you don't hold on, if you don't feed it, if you don't participate in it. And you can ask it to try to help itself, but it just won't. It depends on you. But it blocks you from where you have to go. So then to drop the burden of yourself, maybe that's it. That's a whole different twist. Thank you. Yes, do I have a mic up here? There's one here coming.
I found myself identifying with the man on the bridge and sort of wondering, is it on?
A green light on the side?
Yep.
The green light's on.
And wondering, why is this man doing this? What are his motivations? And I think it's difficult sometimes to accept that someone else's motivations may be completely incomprehensible to you, perhaps even fundamentally irrational. But there come times when you need to do that. And I sort of started thinking about this as you were mentioning the people struggling with addiction. You know, sometimes you sort of have to throw up your hands and say, I just fundamentally don't understand where you're coming from. And that's okay, but I have to let go of the rope, you know?
Great, thank you. It's going to be a difficult thing to do for someone like addiction because, you know, consequences can be so dire. And I've known parents who've had to make that choice with a grown-up child who they tried for a long time to help the child, and finally they had to let go and let the person be homeless on the street. But they tried everything else, and at some point they had to just let go. Hard thing to do.
I guess I want to put in a word for maybe he made a mistake letting go.
Oh, he made a mistake letting go.
Because every time I hear people saying here, oh, yeah, sometimes you just have to let go people, you know, whatever. Maybe that's true, but there's something that is important for me about practice, about actually keeping holding on in some way. Mm-hmm. Or that the letting go is, just don't make a mistake about what letting go means.
Don't let go of the wrong thing?
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, so that's a good thing. There, I mean, a few things from that point of view is, you know, for the, you know, I spent the adult lifetime of kind of learning to let go. And so one of the ways that I read the story is that what was so important about where he was trying to go? You know, what was all the goal and final fulfillment of his life? And I know there's something really great about even letting go of that. I mean, letting go is so delicious. So the problem was he shouldn't have let go of the person. He should have let go of, you know, his goal maybe. And that would have been a kind of liberation, I thought. However, he wasn't strong enough to keep holding on. Because if he kept holding on, not only was he going to eventually let the guy slip out of his hands because, you know, he couldn't be strong enough, and he was going to lose his other good thing. So he's going to lose both things. Or he was going to get so tired, maybe he'd be pulled over the edge and they'd both die. Anyway, so I kind of... The other thing is... We discussed the story in another group I had today, and one man said basically said he should have hung in there and kept thinking about, are there any other solutions? And maybe there's another solution. No one else was coming, no place to tie the rope. And the person who was saying this, what he could have done is he could have put the rope around his own waist and twisted and turned around. And then he would have slowly pulled him up. So, you know, so maybe, you know, the idea of be careful about quick decisions. You know, think, hang in there for longer, as long as you can, and maybe let go of the other option. But that's what's so great about these fables, because I saw a hand over there, and then we can do Jessica afterwards. Yeah.
I've said that sometimes. So, yeah, I enjoyed that line.
Great. So you bring it back to Jessica. Jessica wanted to say something. That's a great point. So the man crossing the bridge had a choice of whether to take the rope. But he didn't really consider that choice very well. And a great thing to do would have been to, as you said, to have asked, why should I hold the rope? What's that about? And so, people come along in our lives and they ask for help, they ask for something, and maybe we don't ask first, what are you hoping for? Or why do you want me to help? Or what does that entail? And then we get involved, and pretty soon we're like, how did I get into this? Yes?
Right. So this is a little different.
Okay, could you pass it back, Jessica, all the way back?
To me, it was, okay, so the guy on the bridge had something important he wanted to do in his life. And the man with the rope, the way I see it, the guy with the goals got caught up in somebody else's head trip. So, I think about this like family. So I might have something that I want to do that's important, and then then somebody approaches me and they have their own head trips about it. It's like they're minding my business. They're not paying attention to themselves, but they're projecting onto me their own ideas or thoughts about why I should or shouldn't do something. And without thinking about it, we buy into that sometimes. And then that's what happened. Without thinking about what he was doing, he bought into somebody else's head trip, and then he realized later, wait a minute, that has nothing to do with me. And he had to let it go so he could get on with his life.
Great. We have my wife and son have a very, very good relationship, but there's a standoff around a particular thing in our house. And he wants her to do it for him. And she says, no, you have to do it for yourself. It's been going on for months. So maybe bring that up, someone back there. Yeah, and you can maybe pass the mic. Bruni, up to the front here. Yes.
Yeah, for me it was also, I was seeing it from the man on the journey. And also, he just took the rope without thinking about it. The man offered it to him and he didn't think about it. So how often do I get myself into something without having been mindful and then realize I'm in the thick of it and I have to figure out what to do and I'm enmeshed and I'm embroiled? And like, I was frustrated, just throw the man over, it's his problem. But I really appreciated the fact that he struggled and tried to find a way and struggled and tried to find a way, because that's what we do. But what was apparent to me was, in the end, he had to be able to live with himself. And he didn't think that he could live with himself until he tried each and every one of these ways. And then finally at the end, the man said, he said to him, you have to take this responsibility. I'm leaving this with you, which is proper. So even though we're not mindful and we find ourselves caught in something, we can still finally pull back and say, this is mine, that's yours. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to continue from here. And then we have to be able to live with it. And I think that's the one that's really a sticking point for me.
So very interesting, especially you sitting next to Meredith right now, because you two of you have very different interpretations of the story. You liked hers better, but you might have some conversations tonight about her point of view and how yours applies. How yours applies with her point of view. How you get caught in yourself.
So one thing that was very meaningful for me was how the story began, about how he thought about what he wanted from life and what his desires were and how he could find that by going somewhere or doing something or meeting someone, that this was something he was going to find outside of himself, and that he had this passion. He was focused on that goal. And he really, he was moving very fast, and he really wasn't paying attention to what, from the way I understood the story, he really wasn't paying attention to what he was actually doing. He was just focused on this goal, and he was moving very quickly towards it. And this thing with the bridge going up over a city, over it just, I mean, it was kind of like, whoa, what is that? You know, it's like, why would you even step onto a bridge like that when there was no need for a bridge? And why wouldn't you stay on the ground and, you know, walk on the ground? And that seemed very odd to me. And it just seemed like he really wasn't paying attention to how he was on his path. Uh-huh. And that this thing with the man handing him the rope, and then bam, within an instant he was over the side. And it really pointed to me about how things turn on a dime and how important it is to be present and to see what's happening moment by moment, rather than getting caught in an idea and a long-term goal.
Nice. Yeah, so nice. So maybe sometimes maybe it's more useful to see that the journey is the goal, and then we can live mindfully and present to each step along the way, and be careful how we live. Yes, was someone else? Yes.
The family analogy occurred to me as well, but the story didn't provide any guidance there. You can't really let go, and the choices are not so binary. It's not life or death. The smaller conflicts, and it wasn't clear what the right course of action is when it's not a life and death situation. So for addiction, it's in some ways easier because you have to let go. That's really the only choice. But in others, it's not so clear.
It's pretty clear for my wife. The issue is that my son wants her to call the DMV to set up the appointment for getting a driver's license test. But she says, you have to do that. You have to take responsibility for that. You have to call. And so it's been going on for months. What? He knows that. So anyway, is a mic there, please? Thank you. Just one minute. Is a mic back there for you? There, Jim. So go ahead. Go ahead, Jim.
Situation is sort of fantastical, and this is a fiction. I mean, it's a fable, and a lot of the quandaries we get ourselves into are really overblown fictions, I think.
Yeah, Mark Twain said some, like, I've had a lot of troubles in my life, most of which never happened. So one more back there, and then we should stop.
I thought since every one of us is sort of naturally taking the position of the person on the bridge, if we take the position of the person who's just dropping off at the end, just even as a provocation, I think it's part of maybe being human and part of the contract of what comes, that when you ask someone to hold on to the rope, the expectation is that they hold on to the rope. That's part of something that we define for ourselves, and you have no choice. That's just part of being a civilized society, I guess, to some extent, and that's the way it is. It's a social contract of sorts. And you're in the position of throwing the rope to someone and expecting them to pick up sometimes, and sometimes you're in the reverse position, and that roles keep changing even now and then. But to be calling yourself civilized means that we hold on to that contract. So every time someone throws a ball, you have to catch it somehow. Oh. At least that's another way of looking at it.
Maybe. Yeah, it's very interesting. Thank you. There was a candid camera? Yeah. So many years ago, I saw a candid camera of someplace like in the street corner of New York, a big skyscraper and corner, and someone was holding a rope. And someone was walking down the street from one side, and they said, can you hold this for a minute? Like, it was a construction worker, was the actor. Can you hold this rope for a minute? And I said, okay. And then it went around the corner with the rope, and then someone else was walking down the street. Can you hold this rope? And then he left. So the people couldn't see who was around the corner, but they're both holding the rope. Yeah, some people do. Yeah, some people do help, you know, and our social contract to help. But what occurs to me is, I learned it. It's kind of a children's song. I don't know where it. Maybe it has. Some of you might know where it comes from. That in my, they sang at Spirit Rock. I won't sing it. I'll spare you the song. But I'll sing. I'll say the words. Don't walk in front of me. I may not follow. Do you know the song? You want to sing it? Yeah. Don't walk in front of me, I may not follow. Don't walk behind me, I may not lead. Just walk beside me, and together we'll walk to the land of peace. Hmm? Fritz Perls? That's from Fritz Perls. Wow. Okay. And so, what? What? There's different versions of it, yeah. So be my friend. So so this idea, you know, there's different there are contracts, but not all contracts are necessarily wise. And so, you know, to expect, you know, that someone's lead or someone's behind, sometimes that's right, but it's really great when we walk together. So thank you for going along with the story. And it's a nice fable. I thought it was full of different interpretations, different angles to look at and see. The group that I gave it to today was a group of people who are being trained to be mentors, to kind of be able to do kind of Buddhist support for people who are Buddhist practitioners. And one of the things I wanted to get across to them was the tremendous importance of in the role of being kind of a spiritual mentor, of not taking responsibility for the other people's choices. And it's such a dramatic story about not taking responsibility, but leaving the responsibility in other people's hands. And you're ready to support them and to help them. And that's part of, I think, a wonderful part of human life is our compassion, our care, our mutual support. But there's something quite dangerous about taking responsibility for other people. And that was the purpose of the story today. The purpose of telling you was just to see what would come out, see what would evoke, and it evoked a lot. So I appreciate very much, I think, what you said, and I hope that maybe it continues to live in you for a while. You keep wondering and thinking about the story. So thank you all very much.